Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Thank you, dear Blood River Radio family. Thank you for hanging on. We're winding down. We're 2/3 way through this broadcast. And just in case you're tuning in, we're pre-recording this. It's Friday, July the 7th, in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2023. And like I said, in case you're just tuning in, we're broadcasting. We're pre-recording. We're in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. We got one of my favorite people coming in. We've had 8 people come in. This be the 9th guy we're interviewing tonight. He's come up here to be with us to celebrate Blood River Radio's 5th year anniversary. I can't believe we've hung on 5 damn years, but we have. I got to repeat this again. I told our guys, me and Matt Goodwin, when we first came on, we thought we'd be able to last a year. We had enough money. We sold gold to get the thing going. We lasted a year. And here we are 5 years later. And I'd like to think we did pretty good work. And because of all the people, the staff we've had, the support we've got, like Sam and Jay and Cameron and Lizzie, And Zach, I mean, it takes an army of people to get this done. And our great co-host, we've had Matt Goodwin, we've had Jacob Goodwin in the beginning. Now we've got Monica Schaefer, we've got Nancy Hitt, we've got Rand Owen, we've got Gene Andrews, and we've got all these great guests, like the guy coming on now. The fella coming on now, he's a gentle giant, but sometimes he's not so gentle. And you don't want to be around him when he's not gentle. But anyway, he was the savior at Charlottesville. You're probably going to know who I'm talking about in a minute. He is the leader. He's the head honcho of the League of the South, the Florida division. And like I say, he was stood tall, saved my butt, saved other people's butt in Charlottesville back in August of 2017. And we're talking about the one and only Michael Tubbs. Take it away, Michael.
Well, thank you, Eddie. It's an honor to be invited to speak on this radio program. I want to congratulate you on the 5-year anniversary. What wonderful work you have done.
Thank you.
Over these many years, as well as your staff. You always talk me up more than I deserve, I think. But thank
I don't
you
think
for
so.
Your kind words. It's also an honor to be here in Traveler's Rest with you today. My family actually owned about 3,000 acres on and around Tubbs Mountain nearby here.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they farmed it with 300 slaves.
Golly. Wow, 300.
Yep. They were apparently very wealthy back there. I was in 1811, and they all picked up and moved to Tennessee for some reason. It's really nice to be here on the old family homestead.
I wonder why in the world they were left here for Tennessee. Maybe that would be interesting to find that out.
Yeah.
Back in those days, it seemed like, you know, travel, even though it's always fast. I know this is a rabbit trail. I'm notorious for going down rabbit trails. But my grandparents on my mother's side were from Oklahoma and Arkansas. And, you know, these, I think they call them the Arkansas Travelers because people from Arkansas were famous for just going all over hell, you know, at the drop of a hat. You know, yeah. Hey, honey, I'm going hunting. I'll be back in 2 years. But anyway, that is amazing. But, you know, Mike, tell us a little bit quick. We've got about probably 8 minutes left. Give us the quick version of your military service, because that's very, very interesting to me. And also, one thing, I know these people think I'm war. One thing I'm most proud about this guy, he went into the gulag for because he was a patriot, for no other reason. And he survived the damn gulag. We had him on. Tell us a little about survival of the gulag, survival of the Green Beret, and then how you got into the League of the South, you know, why you got into it, your care for your country, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, you know, today I'm not real proud of my service to the evil empire. You know, I started to see the light while I was in the Army. There was a lot of things that were just wrong that we were forced to do, forced to believe. And I kind of started having my political as well as racial and religious awakening while I was in the Army. But, yeah, I was in Special Forces. I went through, basic and advanced engineering courses, airborne school, Special Force qualification course, military free fall parachute school, combat diver school, and language school, and a bunch of other schools. But
free fall? Did you say you went to free fall school?
Yeah.
Damn, there's no way in hell you get me doing that.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with it myself.
But I didn't want to interrupt you, but that's fascinating to me. But continue on, Michael.
That was a lifetime ago, and like I said, I'm glad to be out from the clutches of the evil empire, and I would not recommend any of our young Southern boys to go into the Empire's military service. You know, it's all about fighting for Israel, fighting for big business.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, so I wouldn't recommend military service to anyone these days. It's all a bunch of trannies and homos.
It's true.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But, I went to the gulag. Yeah, I was having too much fun in a no-fun zone. And they gave me about 5 years worth. And I learned a lot while I was there. I did a lot while I was there. It was a good time for me because I went into prison like it was a military monastery.
Oh.
And, I refined my faith. I refined my physical abilities, and I came out a better person than I was before, still hating the Empire, probably hating it even more, and to this day, I still hate the Empire, but as far as, joining the League, I'd gone with my wife to Montgomery, Alabama for the, what was it called, the Southern, the Declaration of Southern Cultural Independence rally, and what I saw there, that was in 2000, March 4th, 2000, and what I saw there with the League was just so incredibly impressive. And listening to the speakers, listening to Dr. Hill and other people I didn't even know yet, and the caliber and quality of the people that I encountered there was just phenomenal. I had looked at a number of other organizations beforehand to find a home where I could defend my people, my land, and my faith. And all of them were lacking in something, but when I found the League, I knew that was home. And I have faithfully served the League since.
Yes, you have.
To the best of my ability. And I'm proud to be in the League, and I'd do anything for a fellow League member.
I know you would. I know you would. You know, you said something interesting. You mentioned your faith. If it's not too personal, embarrassing or anything, putting you on the spot, tell us a little bit about your faith, Michael. Because I happen to know you're a Christian guy, but tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I don't want to alienate anybody. You know, a lot of my Christian beliefs would probably be considered a fringe, but I will not deny that I am Christian identity. I know who God's chosen people really are, and I know who they're not. And I hope that I'm around for the prophecy of Obadiah 18 to be fulfilled, when they become as hay and stubble, and we become the fire. So, that's I'm basically Christian identity.
I would love to get, we have another brother. I don't know where he is. He's supposed to be here. Rand, I'm kind of worried about him. I talked to him early this morning. He's big, heavy in Christian identity. I've been listening to a lot of stuff he says. Makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah.
But I like people to know the quality of people that come on our program, and you're as high quality as there is. You know, it's been some months ago, we had Michael on, and he did, like, I think, a four-week series. We had him on, like, at least three. I think maybe 4 weeks we did on a self-defense course. You know, I still remember we could send people to the archives, but a lot of people don't like to go to the archives. But we will have to get you on again soon. We're almost out of time, Mike. I'd like to get you on to do a review of kind of a review course of that civil defense stuff.
My honor, sir.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you.
I
got to
shake your hand, bro. Thank you for coming on. God bless you, Michael.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. People, we're going to take another quick break. We've got somebody else up here. We hope we can coach them to come to the microphone. And we're winding on down the Blood River Radio's 5th year anniversary. So be right back, folks. Hang on to your seats.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people in our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people in our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Dear Blood River Radio family, for hanging out. And you're not an audience, you're a family. Anybody that tunes into our show, and a lot of people like to support our show by donations. Well, that's not a show, it's a broadcast, because we're here to fight global white genocide that's in full speed right now. In fact, it's worse now than it has been in any time in my lifetime, probably any time in the past several hundred years. Anyway, we have another dear lady on here. She's come all this way to celebrate, well, not just Blood River Radio, maybe, but to have the Dixie Fest on here. But they've come up here in honor of the Blood River Radio's 5th anniversary, and we're just so proud to have her on. You've heard us talk about the Bearded Wonder. Well, she is the legal property of the Bearded Wonder. It's Mrs. Bearded Wonder herself, Mrs. Janice, my sister. How you doing tonight, Mrs. Janice?
I'm doing pretty good.
Well, it's great to have you. Did you have a good ice trip coming up here?
Except for the wreck we got behind. It was a great trip.
You know, it's just wreck city. Coming anywhere going east from Memphis, Tennessee, up I-40, it's just a wreck city. I kind of dreaded it. I said, I bet we're going to run into wrecks and stuff, and damn, we sure did. But I'm so glad you made it here. It was so glad to see you and the Bearded Wonder over here. I'm really, really glad to catch y'all. y'all were here. I was really excited when I found out y'all were coming. So anyway, we don't have a lot of time. So one of your pet projects, you've got two of them, you said you won't talk about. You won't talk about gardening. So I would probably title it survival gardening, and then the greatest enemy that the world has ever known, especially the greatest enemy to white people. So go ahead, tell us about your gardening.
Well, Richard got me into gardening in 2000, I think 10 or 11, and then we've had a garden ever since, and I've expanded it every year. I mean, I started out with just, you know, rows of gardens. Then I've added in berry bushes and strawberries, and then I added trees. And so my whole thing is anybody, even if they have a small lawn, can do this. Why cut grass when you can grow food? And that's been kind of my motto. You know, I have grass just so my dogs can have some place to run, but I really do believe that we need to make us grow as much of our own food as we can. We can't grow a lot of it because our yard is small, but, you know, we do what we can. And every year I just try to do something else and improve or add to it. So I think it's important for everybody. And then once you start growing, then you need to learn how to either freeze or can. At first I froze everything. And then I found out that canned green beans are a whole lot better when they're not store-bought than even frozen ones. So
the cans, does it taste better, just more nutritious or both?
They just taste better than store-bought canned ones. And also, read the label on a store-bought can. There's all kinds of stuff in there. You know what's in it? If you can green beans or anything yourself, do you know what's in it most of the time?
Yes.
Water and a little bit of salt.
Yeah.
With your beans. And I mean, then I'm trying to get into fermenting. I'm not doing very good. My daughter-in-law is doing better than me. I'm just not very good at it. But I think that's another important thing to do is learn to ferment, because that's what our ancestors used to do. That's how they kept vegetables good. They didn't have a freezer. And this was even before canning. You fermented them.
Oh, that's how they got, I guess, what they used to call chow chow and kraut and stuff like that.
Yeah, sauerkraut is one, but you can technically ferment just about any vegetable.
Well, you know, I would say there's probably never been a more important time to get into this, what I've termed as survival gardening, than right now. With so-called distribution, supply chain.
Another thing is you can't just buy any old seed. You need to buy heirloom seeds so that you can actually, if you have to save seeds, you can do it.
Where can you get? What's the best place to get heirloom seeds?
There's several places. I've got some of mine at Baker Seeds, which is it doesn't go by Baker Seed, but if you put Baker Seed in it, you would find it. I found another one called Johnny. I think it's Johnny Seeds. But there's several good places out there that give you just heirloom seeds. They're non-GMO, all this kind of stuff. Because, you know, a lot of regular ones that are GMO, you can't take the seeds out of that and grow them.
That's right. In fact, some of the stuff that even have seeds, some of those GMs, I'm often wondering how they do that. Like, you got seedless watermelon. I guess there's no way you could.
I don't either. And another thing that my daughter-in-law and I are getting into is trying to figure out what herbs are good for us to take. That's something that the pharmaceuticals do not want us to know about, is having these herbs that will help you get over sickness, help you stay healthy. They want you to take a shot and take their medicine. And I flat out told my doctor, I says, I don't want any pharmaceutical witchcraft.
Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, it's the pharmakia. I'm going back a long time ago. Pharmakia was like
Greek word for witchcraft.
Return to bondage.
Witchcraft.
Pharmakia. Yeah. Witchcraft.
And who owns the pharmacies?
Yes. Let's get into that. This leads into something else.
Yes. And so we need to start thinking about this. Who owns our money? Who owns most of the credit cards? Who owns a lot of our food distribution, our media, our TV? And that is the United States' worst enemy. and the world's worst enemy. As white men are benevolent, they are out to help people. These people are malevolent.
Yes.
They want to do us harm.
Yes, they do.
And that is the Jew. And that's why they were kicked out of 109 countries.
Yeah,
and
good memory.
And they need to start getting being kicked out of our country and other countries because they want nothing but our destruction. That's why they have the borders open. That's why they're shooting us up with this CV-19 shot, killing people and making them sterile. I'm sorry. They're...
Yeah, you, that's actually what you said. They want our destruction. There's a lot of very high up, very educated, very influential Jews. I'm talking about professors, Harvard professors, politicians. Benjamin Netanyahu said, if we're going to get rid of the United States, we're going to show them what we do to countries that we hate. And they hate us because we're Christians. We're white people. We're Christians, and they hate us because they hate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Well, I would say that is very true, and they have very long histories. In their minds, every European and every European that's gone to other countries is technically Rome who destroyed Jerusalem. They hate us for that. And because at the time, you know, you look back 200, 300 years ago, I mean, we were called Christendom.
Yes, yes.
And we were a Christian nation. We were nations in Europe and over here that actually had faith in God, that we looked towards Him. And one thing in reading, going kind of tying both of these things together, is that in reading Genesis, the only really God-given job for a man to do is to be a farmer.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we were supposed to be husbands. We weren't supposed to be put into big cities and be dependent on somebody else for our food and everything. So, yeah, Jews did that too. They, you know, they helped do that. But, you know, I think that the main thing is people in the United States need to get out of debt. Our money is worthless. It's based on debt. What kind of money is that? Money should be based on, I mean, it used to always be on silver and gold, and Hitler did it on, Hitler based it on our work, and so we need to go back to maybe a combination of those things, that our money should be dependent on our gold and silver and your work.
You know, that's, you made a comment there. I've always wanted, you're absolutely right, when the National Socialists came in, they kicked out all the Jewish bankers, and they didn't base their money on the money on gold or silver. You're right. I would love to get a textbook that gives the nuts and bolts of how they did that. So you know what, Janice, we're best about out of time. Sister Janice, I may add, is there any parting comments you would like to make before you go tonight?
I would tell people, get out of debt, start farming, and be prepared for the worst. Have know like-minded people. Be friends with them. Have a community.
That sounds like sage advice to me.
And remember, God told the Israelites, if those that would have faith in a man as a leader or in another country coming to save them, He wasn't going to help them. Only those that called upon God and trusted in Him was He going to help.
That's as bad as good as advice as I could possibly give to anyone myself. But thank you so much, Sister Janice. It's been a pleasure having you on.
It's good to be on.
Yes, thank you so much. People, that was Janice Hamlin. She's the wife of our dear brother, the bearded wonder himself, Rich Hamlin, the guy I rode to Charlottesville with back in 2017. So we'll be right back, folks, with a couple of our final guests. So hang on, folks.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. House Republicans are looking into White House security procedures after the discovery of cocaine near the West executive entrance. There's concern expressed from the Democratic side of the aisle in Congress as well.
This was cocaine in a bag. Next time, you can have another substance that could cause problems.
Congressman Henry Cuellar, Democrat from San Antonio, sits on the House Appropriations Committee that has jurisdiction over the Secret Service. He says he'll demand answers. The White House today complaining that there has been irresponsible reporting done on the scandal, implicating the Bidens in the discovery, which they say is not possible since the Bidens were gone at the time. President Biden will travel to Lithuania next week to attend a NATO summit. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan told reporters the alliance will demonstrate unity and resolve in support of Ukraine in its war against Russia. The summit also comes as NATO leaders try to bring Sweden swiftly into the alliance and as member nations Turkey and Hungary continue to oppose that. A teenager is under arrest in connection to the Baltimore mass shooting that killed two and wounded more than two dozen.
Baltimore police announced the arrest after a search warrant was executed on a residence early Friday morning. The department said detectives believe the 17-year-old male was involved in the shooting that happened early Sunday morning at a block party in the city's Brooklyn neighborhood. Police said three of the victims remain in the hospital. I'm Lisa Taylor.
A dangerous new TikTok challenge led to the deaths of four people in Alabama. Officials say the trend is called boat jumping, and it involves people of all ages launching themselves off of moving boats.
The four that we responded to, when they jumped off of the boat, they literally broke their neck. And
Rescue Squad Captain Jim Dennis said it's frustrating because the deaths were preventable. Meanwhile, authorities in New York City are running new public service announcements warning teens against subway surfing, a recent trend that's left several of them dead. This is USA News.
This ad furnished by Nesmataju LLC. Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Great. Maxed out cards, rent is due, bills are piling up. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
We should do what my brother did. He went to 27cash.com and got $3,000.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is different. They're one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000.
I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork.
Nope. My brother said it was fast and easy. He did it right from his phone.
If you have a regular source of income, you can be approved for a loan of up to $5,000 in minutes, and your cash can hit your bank account as soon as the next day. Our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history.
Great news. I went to 27cash.com and we'll have our money as soon as tomorrow.
Wow, that is fast.
If you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. I guess this is going to be the last segment of this is their fifth year celebration of Blood River Radio staying on the air, surviving for 5 years. Like we said earlier, in the beginning we thought we'd do maybe a year, but I'm not repeating myself a lot, but I'm really excited, and it seems like a dream that I've lasted for 5 years. It's because we've had a great team. We've got great people backing us up, great support. We've got Sam Bushman. We got Jay. We got the Harris family. Jay, Cameron, Lizzie. We got, you know, Bethany when she used to be here. And we have the finest crew. I don't think we have a better crew. They're not any of them professional. They came in off the street pretty much like I did. But they do a fantastic job. It's been a team. And we're here. And if we're trying to fulfill our mission of fighting against global white genocide in every little way we can. But we've had a bunch of guests. This will be the last guest we have on tonight, celebrating our fifth year survival on the airways. And this dear lady's name is Miss Pam Adams. She's a dear, I call her my little sister, and her husband Dennis Adams. They were up here. They came all the way up here from Virginia. And they've been breaking bread with us tonight, celebrating us, and she got a big smile on her face. How are you doing tonight, Sister Pam?
Well, I came much further than Virginia. I was up near Cincinnati.
Oh, that's right.
Didn't drive all the way down because we knew Eddie was going to be here and the rest of the gang.
Well, thank you so much. That's flattering. I really salute you. You know, one thing I admire about you and Dennis, y'all would hop in the car and drive like 700 miles. Like, I go to the grocery store and think, how do they do it? It's exhausting. Last night when we came into town, me and Sam and James and Sam's son-in-law, Zach, I was just wasted. Sam was, so was James. As soon as he had a business associate to meet up here, as soon as he got through, he was dead to the world. He was still dead to the world when I came up and woke his tail up this morning, banging on his door. He was still in the bed. I wanted to be, but I could not sleep at all. But I'll salute you. That big soliloquy I just gave is because you drove all the way from Ohio to come up here. Lord, that's farther than we came.
So I have a question. Did one person drive the whole way?
Yes, James did.
Okay, because I drive all by myself because my husband can't.
Well, James, and I'll say we drove in a magnificent vehicle. It rides like a dream, rides like a cloud. I loved it. You know, the thing about it, we had a bunch of wrecks coming up here. But we didn't have the wreck ourselves, but we were involved in wrecks, and the traffic just come to a complete stop when that happens. But anyway, you being at this very celebration right here, being at this venue with Blood River Radio, we're known as really hardcore. TPC's hardcore. Sam's hardcore. Sam has been denounced by a bunch of people lately, but we still love him. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, we tolerate each other, I guess. Anyway, what brought you? How long have you been kind of like you say? I know the communists say woke, but they steal all our words. How long have you been awake to this country drifting in an ominous direction, losing our freedom? It's white people being discriminated against. What brought you into this? To be with people like us.
I can't say I'm probably totally awoke. Your husband leads you. So now on Saturdays, like I said, he listens to your show 3 hours. I cook him dinner. He listens to James for 3 hours, and then he listens an hour after James. I don't know what's on after that. I'm usually in bed by then.
Oh, Peter Scoop Stanton.
Yeah, I usually in bed by then. But anyhow, I worked in Cincinnati in the hospital, and you see a lot of it. You know what I'm saying? Different things. And Dennis, he was working at one point, and a lot of the drivers that would go get labs, they'd have to get gas at certain places. And, like, one of his friends got pulled out of the car, you know, by the other race,
yes.
If you want to say it.
Oh, I know.
And, you know, and really got hurt. And then so I just feared more for Dennis doing that. So I just had him retire for a while. And then they opened a Walgreens up the road, and he went up there to work to kill a little bit of time, and met a lot of gentlemen that were World War II vets, and he just had a good rapport with them all. They would come up just to see him at Walgreens, you know, and talk and stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, and you started out as 1 hour, then 2 hours, and 3 hours. So Saturday afternoon's kind of, after you come on, it's about a lost evening. But we sit in there, listen, and, you know, stuff. So. But, yeah, am I awoke? I'm probably completely awoke. I mean, even working at the hospital, I've seen a lot of different. And you see it, you know, all the time now. I have 24 nieces and nephews and 22 great nieces and nephews. So you see some of them leaning the other way, and you just go, oh, my, you know. Maybe you'll awaken one day.
You know, Pam and I are fellow. I'm an old RN. She is too. She's retired. I have been retired by the IRS and by the Treasury Department. But, you know, you being a nurse, and I've always said, you know, I wasn't the most altruistic person in the world, not this big, kindly guy. But I did love people. And I've always said, nurses don't go in to nurse to make a fortune. I like people to know what kind of people I hang around with. And I consider you and your Dennis to be the cream of the crop. So you brought in this movement. What brought you? Do you have any one thing? When people ask me, why did I work at the truck lines? Why did I have a truck garden? Why did I go into nursing? I really can't tell them a really cut, dry, distilled answer. But why did you have any reason why you went to nursing? Because you're my fellow nurse.
Actually, when I wanted to go into nursing after high school, I was turned down because I weighed too much.
No kidding.
I was discriminated against, yes. And years later, when I wanted to go back, I went to elementary ed and double major in special ed. But I always wanted to be in nursing. And so finally, I, you know, quit that, and I talked to two nursing schools, one at a two-year program, one at three, and I just wanted to go do it. Had I not done it, I would have never met Dennis because he worked at the hospital.
Oh.
But, and I work critical care, and I know you did too, yes. Which is a totally different, you know, than on the floor doing stuff. But I don't know, just from early on, I wanted to go into nursing. I don't know exactly. I guess I'm one of nine kids. Maybe I figured there was a few that needed, you know, be around in case. And I am in the family, kind of the medical gather of all the information to pass on, you know,
well,
the history.
You got the expertise. You know, I kind of stumbled into it, I guess. I was, I never thought I'd go into any kind of medical stuff like that in nursing. I was, if you well know, I was drafted. I was trained as a combat medic. I came out, truck farmed, cut firewood, and then later on I became a lab tech, and then I thought, well, I'm going to get into something easy. I'm tired of going, humping up the stairs, going to the OR, the ER, the labor and delivery. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to do something easy. I'm going to go into nursing. I thought, I'll get a CRNA. And I tell you, it's the hardest damn thing I ever did. I mean, it is hard. People, I don't know how it is in Cincinnati, but in Memphis, the patients' families are always trying to start trouble, trying to sue.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, and I'm not going to hog this hour because this is your time, but they would go so far as to leave syringes and, you know, needles in the bed to try to and call supervisors down and say, look what this clown left in the bed. And we use a certain type of, you know, catheters and syringes and stuff, and that's how they would get caught. And but they would do anything, and a lot of the visitors would use the hospital, especially in, I never did work peds, but Memphis has a big pediatric, two big pediatric hospitals, Le Bonheur Children's Research Hospital and St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, and they use the people, the black people would use it. It's just like a babysitting service. But I didn't mean to get off on that too, that trail. So how long has it been that you've been awake to which to the social? Did it take your husband's dentist's friend getting jumped? Is that, or were you awake before that? And how far have you come?
Well, Dennis and I met in 1989 when I started school, and I graduated in 92. And at that point, Dennis wasn't awoke, and he stumbled, I think, on the James Edwards racism, racism, I think, and some of those, and just things he was experienced from work is what kind of turned him around, and then just kind of listening to him, and, you know, different things with James's, you know, anniversary parties and stuff, just kind of, you know, so like I said, I mean, really, I can't say what year he probably turned around, in the mid-90s, I guess, Dennis, you know, so, you know, you kind of seen it because, and this, you know, when we got married, we did have, you know, some black friends he worked with, you know what I'm saying, that came to the wedding. And, you know, but then after that, like I said, things just started happening and you get the different tastes and you finally say, you know what, and you find something and it leads you to it. So, well, and that's pretty much why we moved to Virginia, too, because we're in the mountains.
You certainly are. You know, as a matter of fact, James was telling me this story last night. I didn't know it, but the dentist got lost. Was he lost for, what, a week?
No, he wasn't lost for a week. He was lost overnight.
Oh!
He now has a bracelet he wears, and you can use it anywhere in the country.
Oh.
He has a bracelet he wears when he goes out hiking or if we're down on the beach, that if he would not find his way back, they can use stuff to find it. Even down there when they were lost, but his battery died, they even had the helicopters up trying to find him, you know, pick up the reading and stuff. But it's just, it's not that he gets lost. He knows exactly where he is. He's on our land, but something's happened, like he slipped down a ravine and he couldn't get back up it.
Oh.
But he was out there close to 24 hours.
Wow.
Before they got him out. So.
How cold did he get? Was it?
It was chilly weather. I know he was probably cold, but yeah. You wouldn't believe the people they sent that time. They came out of Roanoke and all over the place.
Wow.
Yeah, these special people that go look in the woods.
Oh. And you know, I hear there's bears, quite a few bears.
Oh, he sees hiking last week, a mama bear and two cubs, you know.
No, that's the dangerous situation.
But he always packs.
When you catch the mom with the cub, that's. And you know, I know this is another rabbit trail, but I've read grizzlies are much bigger and stronger and deadly, but they say. A grizzly so unpredictable, they'll attack, but they'll like pull the attack off for nothing, no reason. A black bear, once they start attack, they never stop. They always try to, they continue the attack just over with. Well, listen, dear Miss Pam, we have run completely out of time. We've got a lot. I think we've got about 13 people in here tonight. And so I'm proud of that, proud of what we did, proud of what Sam did. So thank you so much for coming up here to celebrate our fifth anniversary. Are you going to the Dixie Fest tomorrow?
Sure.
All right. Well, people, you hear that? Everybody's going to the Dixie Fest tomorrow. So, folks, this is it. We're closing out our five-year Blood River Radio audience anniversary. I hope maybe we're here to do it for 10 years. Who knows? So any people, tune in same time next week. That'll be the 14th of July, and we'll be broadcasting from James Edwards' studio. Sam Bushman's going to be there, too. So good night, everybody.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
In the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. We are up here. We're at the third and final hour of Blood River Radio. We're up here, and it is a Friday, July the 7th. This is the third hour. We started earlier tonight, and we were finishing this interview up. And I certainly appreciate you people hanging home. It's been, like we said, I could call it a bachelor interview or an unorthodox interview because we've had to go over long hours because we're not in our studio and we're having to record most of this stuff. I explained most of that last night. But anyway, I would like to welcome you people back. We're here at wonderful, beautiful, I think they call it the high country of South Carolina. And we're at Travelers Rest here in South Carolina, and I'm telling you what, it is packed. We have people from all over the United States. We talked to a fellow today from Wyoming. There's fellow people here. There's a fellow to my right here, a young guy from Ohio. They come in here, and we're all a kindred spirits. I'm not sure there's probably a mole here or there, but we don't care about them. But everybody's here a kindred spirit. We love our family. We love our children. We love our ancestors. We're white, and we're not ashamed of it. Not only that, we're proud to be white. We love our parents. We love our grandparents. We're brothers. We're white. To quote James Edwards sometimes, he said, feels like we won the lottery, the genetic lottery, by being white. I'm glad my children look white. I hope my grandchildren, great-grandchildren do. And these gentlemen here, they feel the same way. It's for God, blood, and soil. And listen, we have a fella here. He is, you all know Dr. Hill. And if Dr. Hill was on the first hour of this program, and you all know him very well and how much we love him. But we have another young fellow here by the name of John Hill. He is a direct descendant of General A.P. Hill. And so, listen, I'm going to get basically to get Dr. Hill, because Dr. Hill is a far better expert on Confederate history than I am. So I'm getting ready to turn this over. It's going to be, like I said, a hybrid interview. I'm getting ready to hand the mic to John Hill. And Dr. Hill is going to start by asking him questions, and because they're kinfolk. So anyway, people, please welcome Dr. Hill back and welcome Mr. John Hill, the young whippersnapper. So John, go ahead, take it away. We're going to get Dr. Hill here. He's an expert on all things South. He's going to kind of pretty much do this interview, but I think this is going to be a super cool interview. So here you go. Introduce yourself. Tell people, give a little biography of who you are, where you live, where you came from, how you found out about your ancestors. And you can even, one thing that impresses me, and this is kind of off subject, but this gentleman, if you don't mind me saying, has this health problem. He could go just in a heartbeat, and it doesn't seem to affect his affect at all. So I really admire that. He's come all the way here knowing he has this health problem. He doesn't give a slam bam. He doesn't give a damn. So anyway, with that, here you go, John. Take off, Fuddy, and Dr. Hill's going to start give you a quick bio, and Dr. Hill, after you give your bio, Dr. Hill's going to start asking you questions.
All right, my name's John Hill. I'm the closest living collateral descendant of A.P. Hill. I did my genealogy back in 2020, and I found out I'm related to Robert E. Lee through four of my family lines, related to A.P. Hill, and I have 140 Confederate ancestors. I'm from Florida, and I moved up to Ohio to be a steel worker. And the health issue he was talking about is I have an aortic aneurysm. So,
John, welcome to Blood River Radio here.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're both hills because we share a characteristic. We're both big and we're both tall, which is characteristic of our family name, I believe. But Eddie's being too kind. I'm by far an expert, not an expert at all on Confederate history. I know a little bit about it, but have a great interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
But tell us a little bit about this recent episode of the, I guess you'd call it the disinterment of your ancestor, A.P. Hill. A great general, by the way. And Lee had a great amount of faith in this gentleman. And tell us about what transpired with the disinterment and the reburial of your ancestor.
Well, I've been in a lawsuit since May of 2021. And I actually went to the court in Richmond and proved my lineage on September 29th of last year. And we lost the case. We filed an appeal. And the appeal is still filed, so we're just waiting to see if it goes to state Supreme Court. They decided to take his monument down on December 12th, so I drove 8.5 hours to Richmond. I was there since 5:30 in the morning all day while they started taking his monument down. We didn't get down to his grave until the next day, so December 13th, and I was deemed his closest family member to exhume his remains.
Right.
So on December 13th, I had the city workers get a tarp to cover his remains because no coffin was left, and I didn't want any of the news people to take photographs of his remains. So there's a photograph of me in his grave with the tarp over his remains, and then when I actually exhumed his remains, I had the city workers hold a tarp up, and we put him into a white, an oak casket with a white lining like he originally had. We brought him to the funeral home, and I draped a unreconstructed Virginia flag over his casket. And I was his pallbearer on January 21st at his reinterment at Fairview Cemetery in Culpeper. And now I'm also his national guardian.
Well, God bless you for doing that. I know that must have been a rather traumatic experience because I know you identify with him as a warrior. And, you know, he's kind of overlooked in the pantheon of Southern generals.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately so, because, as I said, Lee had great faith in him. But one of the distinguishing things that I've learned about General A.P. Hill was that he wore a red shirt into battle.
Yeah.
Can you speak a little bit to that issue and maybe why he did it?
He wore battle shirts and hunting shirts that were sewed by his wife, Dolly. And they weren't, his favorite color was red, because I got to see his tobacco pouch with his initials that she also sewed, and that was also red. But he wore red, blue, plaid hunting shirts. He always wore a slouch hat pulled low on his brow, suspenders, and a lot of people said that he just looked like a farmer.
Well, I really didn't know the answer to this question, but I always thought that one of the reasons that he may have worn a red shirt is because he certainly wanted the enemy to know he was on the battlefield, and it was kind of like a dare. Is there any truth to that that position, or am I completely wrong about that?
Well, I know red was his favorite color, like I was saying. It could be that he was trying to make himself a target, because during the Battle of Fraser's Farm, one of his units was getting bombarded with artillery, and he rode up, seized the colors, turned to his men and said, "Damn you, if you'll not follow me, I'll die alone," and rode at a full gallop towards the enemy, and every single man followed.
Yeah.
Now, he carried two single-shot horse pistols, one on each hip, two 1851 Navy Colts tucked in his belt, a large fighting knife, and a model 1850 foot officer saber. So he had a mini arsenal on him.
He certainly did. Yeah, he was, as I said, I think he's underappreciated as a, not just as a general, but as a warrior and a leader of men. And obviously, you know, both of us share his last name, and we obviously want to be very proud of what this man did. But he was a magnificent fighter. And is there anything that you would like the audience out there to know about him that maybe just isn't common knowledge?
Yes. So there's a few things. I'll try to make it quick. So he died April 2nd, 1865. After the war, his wife, Dolly, her name was Catherine Morgan. She went by Kitty, but he called her Dolly. After the war, she refused to be called Dolly because she was so upset after he died. A lot of his papers and his journal burned up, and she wouldn't talk about him after the war because she was upset. So from April 2nd, 1865, all the way to 1957, when the first book ever came out about him called Lee's Forgotten General, nobody really knew that much about him. It took almost 100 years for a biography to come out. Now, to know how A.P. Hill was, he loved animals. If he caught one of his men abusing their horses, he would use the handguard on his saber as brass knuckles. And after the Battle of Fredericksburg, him and his light division donated $10,000 to the citizens of Fredericksburg, which is over $293,000 in today's money.
I was about to say, that's a lot of money by that day's standards. So the first biography of him, I've actually read that. It's been years ago, but that was the first biography that came out on him in 1957. And I think it's appropriately titled, Lee's Forgotten General. But, of course, he stepped up when Stonewall went down, of course.
And so,
yeah, absolutely. And
he's also the one that cradled Stonewall after he got shot.
Exactly.
He tried to get the men to stop firing. He jumped down. He yelled, "Stop firing on your own men," jumped off of his horse, laid flat on the ground, didn't get hit. And then he went over to Stonewall and ripped his sleeve off and used handkerchiefs to try to stop the bleeding. And he cradled him. And the last words that Stonewall and APL ever spoke to each other was Hill said, I'm gonna try to keep your wounding from the men." And Stonewall looked up at him and said, "Thank you." And that was the last time they spoke to each other.
How old was Hill when he died? How old was Hill when he died?
How old was he?
Yeah.
39.
39.
He was born November 9th, 1825, and he died April 2nd, 1865. So if he would have lived in November, he would have been 40.
Right. That's an awfully young age.
Yeah. Because his wife refused to talk about him after the war because she was so upset. And then a lot of his papers, the Hill papers and journal, and also a lot of his stuff burned up in a fire. Now, I actually have an original handwritten order dated January 8th, 1862, handwritten by A.P. Hill. Okay. And he signed a colonel, 13th Virginia.
People, we've got to take a quick break. We're going to go back to John Hill and Dr. Hill in just a minute, just after this quick break. So hang on. Okay. Well, dear Blood River Radio family, I'm so glad that you were able to tune in today. Once again, we're Travelers Rest in South Carolina. If you ever get a chance, you need to come up here. You can get anything you want, any kind of Confederate memorabilia. So thank you so much, people, for tuning in. And join us. We'll be broadcasting from Jane Edwards' studio. Same next week, I think it's going to be the 14th. So tune in. Thank you, people. Good night, everybody.